Feel the love burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it was rent in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, paid in full. I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full. I paid the final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you've never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid. Children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his fallers now as they boldly come and say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone, we approach the Father's throne and hear the words that he still calls to you. Paid in full, I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full, I paid the final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you've never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid. Just remember that the debt for your sin, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid.
Thank you, Charlotte. Good song this morning. Appreciate that. And all hell will try to tell you that your debt is not paid. But if you've trusted the Lord, you've been born into God's family. Through the power of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, you're in. And nothing can change that. And if you're not saved, that's the greatest need that you have this morning, is that of trusting Christ as your Savior. Find the book of 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. We're here today. We're here next Sunday morning. And that will be the end of our time in this chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at those two verses one more time. Verses 20 and 21. Three truths in these verses that we're looking at. We've looked at the first two and we'll look at the last one today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in your Bible. If you're getting familiar with it, use your index. If you turn to your right from the book of Romans, several pages, you'll come to 1 Thessalonians. The church at Thessalonica, one of the model churches in the New Testament. The church at Philippi and the church at Thessalonica. Model churches for New Testament Christianity. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word, if you're able to. If not, that's fine. Follow along as I begin reading in verse 20. Despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, if it's good, don't let go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. Thank you for this hour. I pray that we will realize all that you have meant for us to realize from eternity past in these next few moments. Help us to put aside the thoughts and cares that surround all of us about yesterday or tomorrow. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves to Your Spirit. I give myself to Your Spirit. I pray that every saved person in this room will do the same. And dear Spirit of God, would You have control this hour? Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God's commands, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, are not grievous. Meaning they are not burdensome. They are not cumbersome. And can I say this today, church? God's commands are not one-sided. In other words, God doesn't give commands just for the pleasure of giving them. And He doesn't give commands that simply, listen, consume us and leave us with no return. What I'm saying is, His commands result in benefits and blessings for those who obey them. So you obey God and you be blessed. You obey God and enjoy the benefits. So we've been looking at these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16 and going through verse 22 next Sunday. These are commandments that God gave through the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. They were recorded and preserved for our benefit today. These are not optional. This is not if you'd like to do these things, do them. These are commandments, okay? As much as the Ten Commandments are commandments. Now, look at these commandments when you put them together, beginning in verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Don't think little of the preaching of God's Word. Don't think little of the preaching of God's Word. Verse 21, the first half, prove what you hear. Don't just accept everything that is preached as Bible. Prove it. Test it. Try it. Verify it. I gave some ways to do that last Sunday. They were not exhaustive. They were suggestions. Some of them backed up by Bible verses. Know your Bible. Know your Bible. People, you have just as much a responsibility to know the Word of God as any preacher does. Know your Bible. Okay? Walk in the Spirit. One of the best ways to verify what's being preached is to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I asked a question last week, how many of you on the way to church or before you left the house last Sunday morning talked to the Holy Spirit? I don't know if you remembered that this morning or not. Did you talk to the Holy Spirit? John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter, and he heard a great voice behind him. You want to hear? You want to know that what's being preached is indeed Bible truth? Be in touch with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Trust your messenger. Paul said, Timothy, you've fully known my manner of life. I've been a pretty transparent pastor here these 29 years. Pretty transparent, okay? I've not tried to be somebody that I'm not. That's difficult to do when you've got a wife and six kids. That's seven pairs of ears sitting in the services. So for me to stand up here and act like something I'm not would be very detrimental to them. They know my weaknesses. They do, okay? The two or three that I have. But anyway, I'm just teasing about that. Trust your messenger and then beware the new. Beware the man, the preacher, who comes up with this statement. You know, folks, I got something new to show you out of the Bible today. There is nothing new, okay? Truth is not new. Truth is not old. Truth is truth. It's present tense, right, okay? So, trust, the Bible says, prove what you hear, okay? Now, so you get the priority on preaching, don't despise it, and then you prove what you hear, and then the last part of verse 21, hold fast that which is good. Now, these commandments result in blessing and benefit for those who practice them. And it all starts with obeying the command that we won't look at in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, where the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. You put out, you know, what is that? That's church service. That's the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Well, people just don't come to church in this day and age. They weren't doing it in the first century. There's nothing new, people. There's nothing new. There's no new battles that we're fighting today that nobody's ever fought. They weren't going to church faithfully in the first century. Paul said, as the manner of some is. Or he didn't say, whoever wrote Hebrews, probably Paul. Okay? Don't forsake the assembling of together. And if you believe that Jesus is coming soon, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I get tickled by these people whose emphasis is all about the coming of Jesus and all the moons and all the signs and all the everything, and they never find themselves in church. How does that relate? The writer of Hebrews said, you believe that Jesus is coming, you really believe that, you'll find yourself in church more. You'll be looking for a chance to get into a church service, okay? So you put all that together. So you go to church, and then you put a priority. You listen when you get there, and you prove what you hear, and you hold fast to that which is good. You do all of these things. You don't do them just because God wants us to, and because, you know, just because there's no benefit to us. Yes, you do them because God said to, but on the back end of that is the benefit and the blessing that we get if we obey Him, because He doesn't just consume us. God never takes away from us. He always, whatever He takes, He gives back better. So He asked for our time on Sunday morning, not our time anyway, it's His time. He asked for be in church when the doors are open. And if you come and you listen and you prove and you hold fast, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to benefit you. It's going to benefit you, okay? The principles of truth found in this book will be a benefit to us if we practice them. Now, there is a progression in these verses that, if obeyed, will result in Christian growth for all of us. Growth that God looks for, growth that God expects, growth that God blesses. And the last part of the progression is the subject of our message today. Hold fast that which is good. There's a lot to preach on this. I'll only mention two things this morning for sake of time. Number one, hold fast means to do more than just hear. Hold fast means to do more than just hear. It means to continue in. It means to take something home with me. It means, as James put it, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In fact, you know, in that verse in James, chapter 1, verse 22, I think it is, James said to be a hearer only and not a doer was to deceive yourself. Now, playing tricks on people, people play tricks on, some people have a problem with playing tricks on people. But playing tricks that don't harm or damage people is a part of life. It's fun. I remember I've told you before, when I was a little boy, when in the middle of the summer in Georgia, when there was nothing to do, I don't know what possessed me, but I would get the fly swatter off the refrigerator, take it out on the front sidewalk of our house there in Atlanta. We were still in the city of Atlanta back then. And I would walk and I would kill flies, smash flies. And I remember my Uncle YT was there one time, and he was working on something outdoors there. And he was seeing me. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm killing these flies. He said, you better be careful. Now, I'm in mid-killing fly mode. He said, you better be careful. He said, what you don't see is over there in that tree, all those flies are getting together and they're watching you. Now, I'm a little boy. Okay, I'm not 16, okay? I'm a little guy. Although I have known some 16-year-olds that you could. But anyway, he said, seriously, he said, they're gathering over there. Good night, man. They're gathering by the hundreds. They're coming after you. They're coming after you. They're going to come after you. And I am. I don't know how long I stood there. He said, don't move. He walked away. I'm out front on the sidewalk with a fly swatter in my mouth. I wonder what people thought when they passed the house. There's that angel boy that lost his mind. Now, you know, that's mean. That's fun. After a while, it dawned on me. There ain't no flies in the tree over there. Now, it's one thing to have some fun with somebody, but it's not funny to deceive somebody to their harm or their damage. And I use that word on purpose because sometimes God hurts us, but it doesn't harm us. Sometimes God has to hurt us to help us. The surgeon does that. Right? Yeah. Sometimes the surgeon has to hurt you to help you. And sometimes God hurts us to help us. But God never harms us. He never does us lasting damage. The Bible says for you and I to sit in a church service and think because we came and we heard, good boy, good girl, I've done my duty, is to deceive ourselves. To cause ourselves damage and harm. Can I tell you something, people? It's not of God for people to do damage and harm to themselves. No, that's not of God. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing. The purpose of coming, the purpose of sitting, the purpose of listening is to benefit. It is to take something home. It is to hold fast onto something. It is to be a doer of the Word. Now, here is what happens if you attend services at a Bible preaching church, okay? Eventually, we hear something that is 180 degrees opposite of how we are living, how we are thinking, how we are practicing. We hit a Bible truth head on. That's happened to all of us. Okay? We hear it. We see it from God's Word. It's there. There's no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us bears witness to the truth of God's Word. When you and I hit a truth from the Word of God 180 degrees opposite how we're thinking, living, practicing, when we hit it head on, what do we do with it? What do you do with it? It's not enough just to hear it. Paul said, hold fast to that which is good. If it's biblical, it is good. Now, this may be something, this may be a doctrinal position that needs to be accepted and believed. It may be a part of the practice of that belief. But when my lifestyle contradicts the preached Word of God, Paul said, if I'm going to benefit from the preaching, I've got to hang on to it. I got to hold fast. I got to take it home and practice it. It's not enough just to hear it. You know, I had no idea that the choir was going to sing God's Word Changes Lives. Written right here, page 3 of this message, it says, song, God's Word Changes Lives. I love that choir song. That's one of the favorites of our church. How do you know that? Because every time our choir sings it, there's a response. Amen. God's Word changes lives. When? When was the last time it changed you or me? When was the last time it was changed? We changed. That's the purpose of biblical preaching. The purpose of our being here this morning. Yes, we honor God. Yes, our assembly together hopefully brings Him glory. Yes, hopefully as we sang that wonderful song about the truth of God never changing yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Hopefully there was a sense of worship that went up as we worshiped the unchanging God. All of that's wonderful, people. But the purpose of what we're doing right now is not just to sit and listen and leave unchanged. The purpose is, you know, sometimes the message is something that's already affected change in our lives. But you don't come to church for years and hear Bible preaching and it not affect you if you're doing the right thing with it. Hold on to it. You know, I believe the Sunday school lesson this morning started out on the subject of the parable that Jesus taught about the soil, the sower, and the seed, right? Remember the first seed, the first type of ground, the wayside ground? And the fowls of the air came and what? Snatched it away, devoured it, before it had time to do any good. Now, I know we always apply that to people who are lost. People who are unsaved. They hear the Word of God, they don't even give any thought to it. To win somebody to the Lord, you have to have the opportunity to speak to their mind. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost. It's one of the things I was telling Ben about soul winning these days. You can't get people to sit still long enough to witness to them. Can't get them to sit still. I've been in homes where people would give me the time to sit still, but it was bedlam in the house. Kids jumping all over the place, running everywhere, cats climbing up curtains. And you're trying to give the gospel, and they're looking around at the curtain, looking around. They don't do this, stop that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I see it, yeah. Fowls of the air. And the fowls of the air in that parable are a type and picture of satanic forces. Now, I understand how that applies to lost people, but I'm going to tell you something, people. I'm not sure it applies only to lost people. I'm convinced that saved people never change because by the time they get to their car, what's been preached has been snatched out of their minds. Snatched away. And the truth of the matter is, people that sit in the service, by the time they get to the car, if they were asked, what was the message about? They don't remember. Now, I know sometimes I used to talk to my bus driver when I was out in Iowa, Wilson Gingrich. We were together for years. And I would say, what was the message about this morning? He said, oh, man, it was great. You should have been. I was down at junior church. Nobody ever asked me how the message down there went. But how was the message up? How was the message up? Oh, it was great, man. What was it about? What was it about? Hang on. And he'll get to it eventually. But I'm convinced there are some people who sit in the church service. They couldn't tell you what was preached because their minds are everywhere right now. Your minds are on your checking account or the lack thereof. Your minds are on the bills. It's tax season. Had a fight with your husband this morning. Had a fight with your wife last night. Our minds are everywhere. And the fowls of the air come, the satanic forces that hate truth come and snatch it. Folks, for God's Word to take an effect in our lives, for God's Word to change us, it has to be thought about, it has to be meditated on, it has to be taken home with us, it has to be held fast and begun to practice it. When is the last time in a church service you are going down your walk with God and there's a part of your life, your thinking, your behavior, whatever, your finances, your dress, your speech, your entertainment, bang, it hit head on with the truth. And you thought, you know what? Wow, I got to turn. When's the last time God's Word changed us? Hold fast to that which is good. That's what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica here. Don't just sit and hear it, pat yourself on the back, and leave never having it affect your behavior, your life, your thinking, your whole person. Don't do that. Take it with you. Be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. The message is, the Bible says, this is how we ought to think. We don't think that way. This is how you ought to behave. We don't behave that way. This is how you ought to talk. We don't talk that way. This is how you ought to treat your spouse. We don't treat our spouse that way. This is how you ought to rear your kids. We don't rear our kids that way. This is how you ought to do your money. We don't rear our money that way. And then we blame, Christianity is not what it's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with Christianity. Not a thing wrong with it. Christianity is following Christ. That never has been the problem. The problem is we don't take anything home. Take nothing home. Nothing changes us. We got our preconceived notions. We got our preconceived ideas. God's Word, yeah, amen, sing it, choir. When's the last time it changed us? When's the last time it made a difference in our lives? You know, folks, God's Word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied, and it can't be. But I want to tell you something. The power that's available in God's Word is not going to change us if we don't hold fast to what we hear. We have to hold fast. You know, I don't know how it is at your place. When our kids were at home, when they were young, and they're not young anymore, when they were young, and under our care all that time, okay, there are things that we did, there are things that we did not do. Based on truth from this book, it affected how we lived. It affected how we talked. It affected how we behaved. In our home, practically. We didn't allow our kids, girls, boys, to run around in their underwear. That's nakedness. No, that's the Bible. See, we're not even in agreement with the Bible definition of nakedness. Well, that's not what I think. That's the problem. We hit Bible truth head on. We go on, we don't change nothing. It's bad English, but that's truth. We'll change a thing. God's Word can only have power. Yes, it's a powerful book, but that power can only be affected in my life as I believe it, hold fast to it, and practice it. Hold fast means to do more than just hear, okay? You know, and then, boy, you get this, and I get so tired of hearing, well, that's just his interpretation. That's just his take. When you can see it in black and white in this book, from the pages of this book, it's not just my interpretation. It's not just my take. It's God's truth. You know, well, here's what our problem is. Our problem is we are sermon tasters. We're not grace of God tasters. Because you know what grace does to people? It changes us. We come and taste a sermon. Oh, that was good. Yeah, man, he even got with it a little bit. He raised his voice. Man, did you see him hit the pulpit? We're sermon tasters. We never taste the grace of God. Never changes us. Never affects our life. Paul said, hold fast to that which is good. Okay? If we're going to be changed, we're going to have to taste the power of His grace, the provision of His grace. But that only happens as we practice, as we do what we hear. And folks, I would be very, very careful. I told this to a fella on the phone in the last 48 hours. God is a merciful God. I'm going to tell you something. He is not this benevolent father who just goes on forever with no repercussion for disobedience. There are things that God speaks to us about and speaks to us about. And we dread it being the theme of the message because we know the last time it was the theme of the message, it bothered us and it's bothering us again. But we can hold on. Hold on to what? What are you holding fast to? Truth? Or your disobedience? We hold fast to truth. And truth changes us. Holding fast means to do more than just hear. It means to take something home, to embrace it, to grab a hold to it, to engage in it so that it affects our lives. That's number one. Number two, the second half is this. Hold fast means to avoid the tendency to let slip. Hold fast. Now think, when you were young, did you not go through this with a parent or a grandparent or an uncle or somebody, maybe even as a young person, maybe even recently, somebody told you, now look, I need you to hold this for me. You're working together. I need you to hold this for me. And I'm going to go, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to hold this. And I'm going to go over here and do this, this, and that. And then, you know, whatever you do, what? Don't turn what? Don't turn loose. Hang on. Hold on. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, the writer said this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Slipping is the natural tendency. So Paul says, hold fast to truth And whatever you do, don't let go of it. Don't turn loose of it. Hold it fast. And that's what God is telling us in this passage. Take it home with you. Embrace it. Do it. Practice it. And whatever you do, don't let loose of it. If it's good, don't let go. Don't let it slip. Now, Brother Bragg, I'll let you this morning be the one on this end of the platform over here, if you would, please. And just hold it. Brother Allen, if you would come and help me this morning, okay? And let me throw this. I'm going to need you down there. Let me get this unknotted. And here we go. All right, now. Brother Bragg represents the biblical position on any given doctrine, any given teaching, okay? This is the biblical position. This is a born-again Christian who is saved, and they're taught the Word of God, and they embrace and they engage themselves with this biblical position. Now, what is the natural tendency over time? So slip, okay? You say, well, that's not so bad. Come here, Trevor, if you would. But folks, look at me. Everybody that's saved, come on over here, brother. Everybody in this room influences somebody. Everybody. So over time, Brother Allen let some things slip, and through preaching, I'm not exactly where I used to be, but, it's like the bubble on the level. And that's within tolerance. That's over here, over there, but it's close enough. But the only problem is, Brother Allen, as a parent, as a man in the church, as a youth worker, whatever, he influences Trevor. And Trevor takes his position. Brother Allen, you can let go. Trevor takes his position where Brother Allen influenced him. But what's his natural tendency? Slip. Okay? So the next guy comes along that Brother Trevor influences. By the time Trevor gets older, he has a kid or two. He works in a church somewhere. He's a Sunday school teacher, but he's slipped a little. And then he influences Brother Mike. Brother Mike takes the position that Brother Trevor had. You let go now. And what's his natural tendency? Well, people, keep going. If that happens long enough, where's the next person going to end up? That's a long ways now. Long ways. This is why, Paul, thank you, Trevor. Hang on here just a minute. This is why, come on back, Brother Allen. This is why, one of the reasons why Paul said to the Thessalonian people, man, you hear biblical truth, hold fast. Hold fast. So when Allen's done, his time is over, the guy he's influenced is right there. And the guy he influences takes his position, he's right there. Hold fast. Thank you, fellas. Leaving the doctrinal position on anything in the Bible is a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. Anything. When you and I allow ourselves to slip from a doctrinal position, I don't care what it is, folks, it has the potential to end up way off. Has that potential? I'm thinking of all kinds of things. I'm thinking of, alcoholic beverages. Boy, this is the big thing right now amongst even in Baptist circles. It's worming their way in. The social drinking. To me, there's no logic in that whatsoever. The idea that you think Jesus Christ would endorse a beverage that has the potential to intoxicate you. But let me ask you a question, those of you that social drink. Where are the people that are going that you're influencing? Where are they going? What's next? Where are they going? And then after that, where are they going? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I have a responsibility. I don't just have a responsibility to the kids that called me Dad. I have a responsibility to the kids that call me Pawpaw. I have a responsibility to the kids that will someday be great grandkids, even though I may be in heaven. I have a responsibility to all those who come behind me to hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast. You start slipping on what you watch on TV, you start slipping. Where are you going to go? I talked to a fellow, I told you this some time ago, a fellow that was one of our missionaries, and he came home from the field, and he wrote the sending church pastor, and he said, I'm coming home in 30 days, and, you know, we're going to another church, and we're not going to do, you know, we don't line up anymore with what you said and how you preached. And that man believes the same thing he's always preached, still does today. And we supported this family. Young couple. The youth of our day, the millennials of our day, are not interested in what the gray-haired men have to say. They don't want what the gray-haired men have to say. They want to know what their peers think. And it's out there. Go anywhere you want to. This is the problem we're facing in this internet day and age. It's pick a pastor. If I don't like what my pastor says on that, then I'll just pick another one that says what I want to hear. That's called idolatry. And this young man said to me, you men always talk about the slippery slope. Why are you always talk? I know what you think. You think I'm on a slippery slope. Well, I want to tell you something, brother. I'm not going anywhere other than this right here. That's as far as I'm going. Why do you always call it a slippery slope? I said, because that's what it is. It's a slippery slope. You start slipping. Where does it end? People, I'm telling you, I mean, I could throw stuff up on the screen this morning. These churches that have just abandoned all definitive right and wrong. We get products of ministries that have decided, you know, that there is no place for, you know, there is no place for any kind of dress standards in today's world, today's churches. And their sons are in swimming trunks, no shirt, proposing to the future wife who's got a halter top on and a pair of hot pants. And these are the people that are starting a church. There's no end. There's no bottom. It's just slip, 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 slip until you slip into oblivion. That's why Paul said, hold fast. Hold fast to that which is good. You hear preaching, prove it by the Scripture, and once it's proven by the Scripture, then hang on to it. Hold fast that which is good. And you can take any teaching, anything on the Word of God, and when you begin to slip on that, it's a slippery slope. And let's all be honest, folks. All of us slip to a degree. It's human nature. It's human nature. But to slip and realize it and say, eh. And the next generation slips and eh. Hold fast. I told Ben this morning, you know, they flew Ethiopian Airlines. I sent Mick my PowerPoint this morning. I just tweaked it a little bit for Sunday school. And I sent it to Mick on my internet, on the email. And one of the first things that came up on my email page, Ethiopian Airline crashes. It crashes. I go, wow. And it's weird because I had in my notes, May 25th, 1979, I was just about 3 weeks away from getting married. That was graduation night at Bible college, Friday night, May 25th, 1979. I remember it well because after graduation, we had Jim Blaylock and Louise Vanderhoof's wedding rehearsal after graduation. And I was in the wedding, Brother Jim. And I had to stay till like 10 o'clock at night for a wedding rehearsal after the commencement exercise. And on the way to the graduation, I was listening to WBBM, and they were talking about, on the broadcast, about American Airlines Flight 191 that left O'Hare going to Los Angeles and got right outside from the airport there and crashed 258 passengers, 13 crew members, and two people on the ground killed. So I listened to the radio on the way home, on the way to the dorms, after the wedding rehearsal practice, wedding rehearsal. I listened to it again. They were still talking about that disaster. One of the engines on the left wing broke off and flew over the wing, and the plane tilted, and boom, crashed. You can read the National NATSB. You can go online and find the PDF. That plane was serviced March 29th and 30th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were reattaching the left wing, all the engines, okay, to the pylon that was attached to the wing. And they had a shift change. The engine was lifted up by a forklift, and the shift change, when they had the shift change, they left the forklift in the lifted position. And the next shift came on and just finished attaching the bolts to the pylon, to the wing. And during the shift change, they determined that the hydraulics on that forklift had slipped. And it resulted in a hairline crack that nobody could see. And the people coming the next shift just zit, 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 with that hairline crack in there. And in the process of all the following takeoff and landings on that day, May 25th, I remember it, Johnny Pope was supposed to be on that flight. He was traveling to California to preach. He missed it because of the traffic. God spared his life. That slip caused a hairline fracture in that bracket. And over the course of the next, 2 months, taking off and landing, on that fateful night, afternoon, that plane took off and that engine cracked off. 270, whatever I said, three people dead. Now, look, I know that's an extreme example. But folks, when you and I allow slippage and we know it and we justify it, we allow slippage because of the pressure that the world puts on us, the pressure that our kids put on us. When we allow slippage, we're playing with fire for those who are coming up behind us. You know what I've seen happen? I'm just kind of throwing this in at the very end here. You don't abandon truth because a man fails. I know people who have abandoned truth because Dr. So-and-so messed up. Truth does not change because Dr. So-and-so messes up. I don't believe that anymore. He preached that. Look at how he lived. Look at what happened to him. No. Truth never changes. No matter who falls. No matter who doesn't fall. Truth never changes. So hold fast to truth. Take it home. Engage yourself in it. Practice it. Let it change your life if necessary. And then once you get that biblical position, just hang on to it. Hang on to it. Hang on to it. Because once you start slipping, it's a slope that can't be stopped. Just can't be. So hold fast to that which is good. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, before I pray, let me just ask a few questions. Let me ask you this morning, are you holding fast to anything that's preached? When's the last time God's Word affected some change in your life? Because that's the purpose of it, changes. When's the last time God's Word changed you? My guess is most of us have probably been hit head on by some biblical truth in the last 6 months, and we've just ignored it. We've just ignored it. Justified our ignoring it. Be careful. When's the last time God's Word's changed you? Have you let your grip slip on Bible truth? Have you let your grip slip? Man, tie a knot in that truth and hang on to it. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God quietly dealt with my heart. Quietly dealt with my heart as I sat and listened this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting this morning? God bless you. I appreciate that. I'll remember that when I pray. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand in the air if you're not sure that you're saved? Would you just let me pray for you this morning as we close? Anybody? Not sure that I'm saved. If you're here today, you know you're saved. You've never been baptized. I hope that you'll come. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Don't let that slip. Don't just ignore it. Practice it. Obey it. You come today and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning. I pray, oh God, that you would help me. As I preach, I get convicted of my own rebellion sometimes. My own resistance to truth, to changing something in my life. But Lord, I pray that the power of your word will be realized by everybody in this room that hears it. I pray, God, that we will not let that potential go to waste. But we'll hold fast, we'll accept it, behave that way, think that way, live that way, talk that way. May it change our homes. May it change our marriages. May it change our lives. For the better, for the benefit. And then, Lord, help us if we let things slip. And maybe some need to tighten their grip this morning, not because, maybe it's not too much of a slippage, but there's just enough to cause concern and just tighten their grip. Not with arrogance, not with pompousness, but just an allegiance to truth. Hold fast. Touch the hearts of those that need to be saved or baptized, but may your will be done. In this invitation is my prayer. In Christ's name. Let's stand together. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the ladies are playing the song of invitation. I hope that you'll obey the Lord this morning. You mind Him? If God speaks to your heart, the best thing to do is to respond to that voice. Respond. Many, many hands went up. A lot of people raised a hand. Stay in your seat. I hope you're turning that seat into an altar. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Hang on. While we wait this morning. Find the biblical position from the Word of God. Hang on to it. Practice it. Engage in it. And then hang on to it. Be an influence for the next generation that follows you. Hold fast that which is good. Don't think little of it. Prove it. And then hold fast. Got it. Hold fast. Thank you, ladies. Father in heaven, we pray that you'll bless our leaving today. And Lord, may the fowls of the air not come and snatch out of our minds what's been said from your book today. God, may it find root in our lives and have power to change us and help us, please. And Lord, if it's good, help us to hold fast and tighten our grip and be an influence on those coming behind us. I pray in Christ's name and amen.